This week, Purdue University started blocking Netflix and other popular streaming sites in all of its academic buildings. That's after some faculty complained about the network slowing to a crawl while students streamed video and games on apps like Hulu, Steam, and HBO. So how's the ban going? Let's ask one of the people behind it, Stephen Bowden, a professor of chemical engineering at Purdue. Professor, welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
And at the time that Purdue decided to move forward with this policy, you were head of teaching and learning technology there, which meant you were a liaison between academic faculty and IT. What kind of things were you hearing from the IT folks about the strain that these streaming sites were putting on the network?
Well, faculty were running into problems when they were trying to use the different educational apps that we have available in the classroom. And that put a burden on the IT staff because when the technology fails in the classroom, everything stops in the classroom. And the technology people have to sprint there, try to get everything back online, try to get everything working. And that's a real strain on everybody to try to solve these kinds of problems in real time.
Is that because students were streaming Netflix or whatever in class?
Yes, we were able to monitor sort of where was the traffic going from the different relays in the classroom. And the overwhelming majority of the high bandwidth usage was going to things like Netflix and Hulu and other sites that were not really academically focused sites.
And it brings up the issue of whether what you're doing now by blocking these sites is about your network or it's just about getting the students to focus on learning instead of watching movies or playing games?
Well, in the classroom, I would say that myself and most of my colleagues are generally trying very hard to have the class be as engaging as possible and to keep the students focused on what we're doing from an educational perspective. But very often, these students might simply be downloading something that they're going to watch later on. It's not necessarily that they're watching the wrong thing in the class. They might be updating their iPhone operating system, for example, which takes a lot of bandwidth. So there were other uses that weren't necessarily a lack of attention, but there was also some lack of attention usage.
What have you heard from students about the idea of blocking these sites?
Crickets, to be honest with you. I haven't heard anything from the students. What they have asked about, though, is can they still have access to these kinds of sites outside the classrooms but still in the academic buildings? So in the lounges and in the atria and other places where they might sort of relax between classes or study between classes, will it still be available there was an issue. And the answer to that is yes, it will be.
It still will be. Because I was noticing that in the Chicago Tribune, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign responded to what you're doing and said they have made significant investments in their network in order to provide the students, faculty, and staff with the technological infrastructure to support their needs. They're basically saying we just increased our bandwidth so that people can do this if they want to.
Well, we have done something similar, but at some point in time, you cannot put more relays in a confined space before they start interfering with each other. So we had already made those investments to update and upgrade the technology in the classrooms really as far as it could be upgraded before we started to have interference kinds of problems. And we were still unable to keep up with the student demand. And on top of that, it's not too hard to imagine as we go forward and these higher and higher bandwidth kinds of applications come out, if we don't do something, we're not going to be able to keep up with that.
Do you think the students are going to find a way around your blocking of these sites?
When I first heard about this project, the first thing I said was, our students are very smart, mm-hmm. and we will lose the fight against the students if we decide we're going to out-technology them. But it does not seem to be the case that they have decided to find ways around the filtering that's going on in the classroom. Instead, they've either gone with, if they're going to not pay attention, they've decided to not pay attention with low bandwidth usage kinds of sites, or they are simply using the sites that we're trying to filter in other locations in the academic buildings where it's not a teaching setting.
Do you think other universities are going to follow your lead here?
I think it's inevitable. This generation of students probably has no recollection of any point in time where they could not be continuously connected through some sort of mobile device to their peers and to the outside world. The race to be able to provide enough technology so that they can be connected but yet still be in the classroom, we can't win that race So at some point, we're going to have to limit what we're going to have available in the classrooms.
It'll be very interesting to see if some of them, after not being able to access these sites, decide, oh, things are actually better when I can just focus on life in front of me.
Well, that's certainly a hope. All students are at some point on a continuum from where they were when they were in high school to where they're going to be as professionals out there in the world. And I think for all of them at some point in time, focusing on the important thing that's going on in the classroom becomes the number one priority. If this helps that transition, then it's so much the better.
That is Stephen Bowden, professor of chemical engineering at Purdue University. Thanks so much for joining us.
It was such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.